CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie, and today we're talking with Ron Garner, author of Conscious Health, The Complete Owner's Natural Health and Healing Manual, and we're going to be talking with him about his book. And if you have any questions for Ron, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And you can also email me at spiritualshow@gmail.com. And before we get started, I just want to let you know that if you have any show ideas that you'd like to submit, please feel free to email me. Again, the email is spiritualshow@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to be a guest, if you do something related to spirituality and health and healing, then feel free to drop me a line. I'd love to have you on the show. So we're going to get started with Ron. Hi, Ron.
Hi, Marie.
Good morning. How are you?
I am great, and it's good to be talking to you. UBC, as a former UBC grad, that's kind of good.
Oh, fantastic. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. I do have lots of questions for you, but I was wondering, I read your bio here, and you did work in the school system, and I was wondering if you could tell us just a little bit about your background.
Oh, sure. My background was mostly education. I was a teacher in two or three places in BC, and then I got into school district administration. And so I have taught all over BC, and then I was a regional superintendent in Yukon. And for the last 16, 17 years of my life, I was assistant superintendent in Kelowna until I retired there a number of years ago. And then as my health was beginning to fail, and I didn't like it. And the drugs that I was taking didn't seem to be doing what they should be doing. And so I started searching for other answers and moved into the natural health field and started to find those answers. And then it sort of developed into a real interest of mine. And others said, well, why don't you start sharing that with others? And it developed into a book and then regular speaking and radio programs and that sort of thing.
Fantastic. And the book, if you haven't seen or read the book, it is available at the Vancouver Public Library. I was thankful to take it out just the other day. It looks like it's brand new for the library, and it's a very big book. It's almost like an encyclopedia of natural health. And Ron, it says here in your bio that you have a Master's of Science and a Diploma in Natural Health. So can you explain a little bit about what that is and what that qualifies you to do?
Well, qualifies is a funny word, really, you know. Everyone who wants to understand something can pursue it and learn themselves. Actually, it was a beginning for me. My Master of Science was actually in educational administration. And when I was getting near to retirement, I enrolled in the College of Natural Health in Tulsa, Oklahoma, by long distance, and started studying under Dr. Joel Robbins, and started to know, to understand the natural principles of the body, why it breaks down to disease, and what it needs to stay healthy, and how we can reverse failing health and move into more vibrant health for much longer in our life. And so I would say that my studying there was a beginning. But after that, and that was over 10 years ago, I have read hundreds of books and research reports to sort them out. And as many people will understand, not always what we read and hear makes sense, and it's not all consistent. Some things contradict others. And so on my own, I started to sort out, to make reason of what was logical and what was true for the body, and what was really helping it, and what might hinder it. And so, by and large, for the last 10 years, I have been self-educated by researching the very best information I could find out there, and then compiling it all and putting it into one volume that people can understand. And I was very pleased with the results, and so was my publisher. We won the Nautilus Award for the best health and healing book in 2007 in the United States.
Yes, I was noticing that on the front of the book. And what is the Nautilus Award?
Well, it's a quite a prestigious award in the States. It's an organization that searches out books on various categories, right from children's book to spiritual to health and healing, across a broad section. They probably have 15 or 20 categories. And then there is a competition, and it's narrowed down. And in the end, I was very fortunate to receive the one for health and healing.
Fantastic. Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And the book is full of information. And you mentioned a little bit about having some health issues, and I'm guessing that's what inspired you. But I'm wondering if there's anything else you want to add to what inspired you to write Conscious Health.
Well, I sort of alluded to that before. When I was a child, I suffered from eczema, and then developed into allergies, hay fever, and then later on asthma. And as I moved into my 30s and 40s, some bowel problems developed, and the allergy things seemed to get worse. And I searched to try to reverse that, and I was fortunate and did it. And basically, the answers are nutritional, but there's also detoxification, etc.
Now, as far as eczema, I've noticed that a lot of people with eczema, and I don't have a background in health or anything like that, but I've noticed that a lot of people with eczema have experienced trauma and emotional issues, and I'm wondering if there's a connection.
Well, I think there's always an emotional connection with any illness, and people who study cancer will tell you that there's a deep emotional seat to that. That doesn't mean to say, because we've had an emotional jolt, it began that disease, but it certainly exacerbates and makes it worse.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like stress would be, I mean, anything emotional that's happening
yes.
to a person would cause stress.
Yes, it would, but I believe that the basis of all of them have their basis in the body becoming over-toxic and not receiving the right nutrition. And so, in my opinion, eczema, and the key to removing mine, and mine was severe well into my life, it's detoxifying. In simple terms, a lot of eczema is the body attempting to cleanse itself through the skin. And we could get into the sequence of what the body does with detoxification. But to make a long story short, that's basically an end product there. And until we cleanse the body from within, the skin is not going to be totally healthy either.
Well, that's really interesting. I've never heard from that perspective before. We're talking with Ron Garner, author of Conscious Health, The Complete Owner's Natural Health and Healing Manual. I'm Marie, and this is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. If you'd like to get on the air and ask a question, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. So I was looking at the book, and you mentioned the five keys to ensuring optimum health. Do you want to give us an overview of that?
Sure, Marie. Basically, what I've done is divided the book into five sections that we need to understand. Because if we go back to the beginning and understand what is conscious health, and in my opinion, conscious health is merely being aware of how the body was designed to function, why it breaks down to disease, and how we can cooperate with our body to produce great health. And so the first section in the book I have is learning. So the five keys are learning, cleansing, feeding, believing, and implementing. So the first one is learning how the body was designed to work and why it breaks down. The second one is cleansing, understanding how and why we should be cleansing or detoxifying the body. The third one is feeding the body food that it can use, that it will replenish its reserves of proteins, that's the amino acids and the minerals and the enzymes that it needs to keep operating. And the fourth aspect is the one that you alluded to a couple of minutes ago there, and I call it believing, but it encompasses the whole area of emotions and what state we have our mind in. Because there's so much information out now on the creative aspects of spirituality that what we think and believe, our attitudes do manifest in our life, and they affect our body and our body chemistry. And the fifth key is implementing. That is, we can know all this stuff, read it, and say, isn't that interesting? Oh, yeah, that guy on the radio, yeah, he's pretty interesting. But if we don't do anything about it, then nothing is going to change. And so it's I lead people through a process of how they can gradually change, switch over from an unhealthy dietary lifestyle into a healthier one.
Fantastic. And so you mentioned belief, and since this is a show about spirituality and we talk a lot about the law of attraction and things like that, and so belief plays a big role in that. And I've heard people say, I've heard Wayne Dyer say this, I've heard a number of spiritual teachers say that it isn't necessarily what you eat, it's the belief behind what you're putting in your body that matters even more.
Yeah, that's very true. But I think they would also tell you that you can't eat complete garbage and chemicals and still expect to create a healthy body out of that. But very definitely, Wayne Dyer's basic premise is the spirit of intent. What is your intent behind what you are doing? So what is your belief of the outcome?
Okay, so if someone believes that the natural healing foods are going to be beneficial to them, then that's going to add even more power behind them.
Yes, even more power, absolutely.
Excellent. And so you also talk about, actually, we're going to go to a break in just a second here. So we are talking with Ron Garner, author of Conscious Health, The Complete Owner's Natural Health and Healing Manual. And this is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. If you have a question for Ron about natural health, your diet, anything like that, give us a call, 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And you can also email spiritualshow@gmail.com. So we'll be back in just a second, right after this message.
A beautiful day without a cloud.
The 27th Annual Vancouver International Film Festival will be held September 25th to October 10th, 2008. VIFF is among the largest film festivals in North America and is one of the largest cultural events in Canada. The broad spectrum of fiction and non-fiction films from around the world is divided into the following sections. The Ark, Elements and Animals. Dragons and Tigers, The Cinemas of East Asia. Non-fiction features. Canadian Images, Cinema of Our Time, and Spotlights on France.
Films are screened on the following 10 screens: Empire Granville 7 Cinemas, Van City Theatre at the Vancouver International Film Centre, Pacific Cinematheque, Ridge Theatre. To purchase tickets, visit the Vancouver International Film Festival Centre on Seymour. For information, check out www.viff.org or call 604-683-FILM. That's 604-683-3456.
Yes, it comes in a downward direction. It disintegrates, dissolves, melts everything.
Welcome back. This is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie, and we're talking with Ron Garner. If you want to get on the line, the number to call is 604-822-2487. We'll put you right on the air and you can ask your question. So, Ron, there is an experiment, the Pottinger Cats experiments.
Yes.
And regarding raw versus cooked food, and I've been hearing about this recently in the news, actually. I saw on Yahoo News or something like that. There's debates about eating raw food and eating cooked food. And what I heard is that when you eat raw food, there are enzymes in the food that help you to digest it. But when you cook it, those enzymes are broken down and your body only actually produces a finite amount of those enzymes, and once you use them up, you're pretty much screwed. So is that what that's about, or can you explain a little bit more?
Yeah, it is about, and I'm glad you asked that question. Dr. Francis Pottinger is actually one of my heroes. He lived in California and practiced in the early part of the 19th century. And around 1932, he really wondered, what's the difference between cooked and raw food? So he got together 900 cats, and he divided them into various groups to feed them different diets. But in simplified form, basically what he did, he had raw food cats and cooked food cats, feeding them raw milk, raw meat, etc. And the cooked food cats, he actually even gave them one-third of their food raw and gave them a supplement of cod liver oil. So they all got that. It was very interesting. He, in dividing these into groups, for the raw food cats, all the cats, by the way, he wanted to study over subsequent generations. And so the all the females were bred with raw food males, so there was a consistent sperm throughout. And the results happened from generation to generation like this. The raw food cats remained healthy all the way through. They just continued on and on. The denatured foods, that is, you know, pasteurized milk, evaporated milk, cooked meats, this sort of thing, at the end of the first generation, these cats developed diseases and illnesses near the end of their life, similar to what we have seen in our society prior to the last 20, 30 years. The second generation cats of the cooked food cats developed diseases and illness near their middle life. We see a lot of that happening now. We even see some of the third generation, which developed diseases and illnesses at the beginning of their life, and many even died before they're 6 months old. And here was the kicker. Of these cooked food cats consistently fed that way, there was no fourth generation produced. Either the third generation parents were sterile, or the fourth generation cats aborted before birth. But there was some really good news that came out of that study, too, was that if he took the cats on the second or third generation that were fed only cooked food and switched them back to a raw food diet, they became progressively healthier again over the generations. And that's a really distinct learning point for all of us. And you alluded to, we mentioned one of the reasons why this happens. There's actually a couple of reasons. We are meant to replenish our body's store of enzymes and digestive enzymes, and the enzymes we have in our body are what makes our body run. Nothing happens in our body. There's no chemical process or thinking process or anything that takes place without enzymes. And yes, our body can make them out of its mineral stores, but if these aren't being replenished, it eventually runs out of materials to make them with. So we are meant to replenish our enzyme stores through raw food. Another interesting thing happens here, too, and that's with proteins. Proteins are made up of amino acids. These are the building blocks of protein. And the interesting thing about protein is that when we cook it, one of the amino acids called lysine becomes immobilized or made inactive, and it is unable to enter into combination with other amino acids. And so the protein we're supposed to get to replenish the stores in the body, to build our tissues, to make hormones, etc., are not available. So these pass undigested into our colon and putrefy. That's what produces basically foul bathroom odor, because it's food that has been incompletely digested and it basically is rotting in the colon. So what does the body do if it's not getting the enzymes and it's not getting the fresh raw amino acids, the protein building blocks? It robs from its own tissue. Because our body is a very wonderfully made organism, and it has two priorities. The first one is survival, and the second one is it will make us healthier if there is energy and materials left over at the end of the day. And so it robs from its own tissues and its own stores to make the enzymes and make the amino acids that are needed for the whole endocrine system of hormone production and other things in the body. So progressively over time, on an all-cooked food diet, the body simply runs out of supplies, it becomes plugged up with toxins, and it begins to break down, and all the various diseases manifest because the body becomes very acidic, which is another whole topic to talk about.
Okay, so Ron, first of all, that's gross. What our body does, it basically, it sounds like it's eating itself in order to digest our food. That's what I got out of what you just said. Not to say that you're gross, just that sounds really gross. And the image of my body doing that, because I eat predominantly cooked food. So that's really interesting. And now I'm freaking out a little bit here. But I do have some questions about, first of all, if you eat, I mean, what about meat? I mean, raw meat has all these bacteria in them.
Yeah, yeah, and that's a good point. I certainly don't recommend the raw meat. When we get into a discussion of acid alkaline, that the body needs to be balanced, and the body is basically alkaline. And the problem with meats is that if we eat too many of them, meats contain acidic minerals such as sulfur and phosphorus, that when they're broken down in the body, there are byproducts of sulfuric acid and phosphoric acid and other acids formed, and the body really has to work big time using its alkaline mineral stores to try to balance these out, to try to neutralize them. And so as Dr. Ted Mortar, that I studied under his material on acid alkaline, he maintains that anything on an average of over 47 grams of protein per day, no matter what the source comes from, but of course the meats and dairies are very, very high protein, that will lead to acidosis, osteoporosis, and various stages of disease. And it's simply because the body runs out of neutralizing mineral supplies to overbalance this high acidic food intake from meats and coffees and soft drinks, etc.
So I see what you're saying about meat, and that causes a little bit of concern for me because I'm on a low carb diet. So much of my diet consists of meat and eggs and things like that. I have tried to move away from the dairy, but I do eat meat and eggs. And as far as even vegetables now, I could see maybe if it was grown in your own garden, but there's so many, I mean, there's this big listeriosis thing going on, and that's with deli meats, but even the spinach a while back, there was the big E. coli thing, and they had to take all the spinach off the market, and Hep A, you know, sometimes there's scares if you're working with raw food in a restaurant and someone has Hep A, or you go to, say, Mexico or something, you need to be concerned about that. So where does that fall in? I mean, people, even if people are wanting to eat raw food, there are still these bacterial concerns.
You've covered a lot of ground there, Marie, a lot of questions in that. I'd like to just back up and say that we actually can obtain all the protein that our body requires from a predominantly vegetarian diet of fruits and vegetables, because when we were a child, we thrived and really grew very well on mother's milk. Mother's milk is about 1.5% protein. That's all. Hmm. You get your meats, stuff there, 12 to 24% protein. And so out of a good diet of enough raw food, I'm not saying totally raw because most people aren't going to go there, but we need to move towards a significant portion of our diet having raw foods because the enzymes are available. And so another part we haven't talked about is our body actually runs on electricity. It doesn't run on these components of food that we eat. Electricity is contained in live, living food, raw fruits and vegetables. And so the body breaks down its nutrition to form the electricity that it runs on. And so how do we cope with this? I think that when we're eating out, you're right. We don't know about the food handlers. We don't know where the food came from. When we do eat out, we're probably very best advised to eat mostly cooked food there, because at least it's going to be subject to the heat and kill any nasties that should be there. But, okay, what else would you like me to comment on here?
Well, now, what about something like having your vegetables lightly steamed? Is that...
That's wonderful. That's great. And I would say that, you know, you don't just switch bang over from a cooked food diet to a raw food diet or a mostly raw food diet. You start adding a little more of the raw fruits and vegetables to your diet. You start out in the morning by having... more fruit and less cooked, until gradually you can work to getting up to noon before you have the raw food, and there's a whole reason for this. But yes, lightly steaming is excellent, because there'll still be a little crunchy inside.
Okay.
This is why when I eat out, if I eat at the Asian restaurants, the chop sueys and stuff, you'll find at a good Chinese restaurant where the vegetables are crunchy. That's a good example. They haven't been cooked completely through. And so we're still getting a lot of the nutrition and enzymes from them. Yes, that's a very good alternative, Marie.
Okay, excellent. And actually, one thing I noticed, there's so many questions I want to ask you. I want to ask you about supplements as well. But I do notice that, for instance, if I eat broccoli, and when I'm cutting up broccoli to make a stir fry, let's say, I will have a few bites of the raw broccoli on its own, and it's actually a lot more filling, I find, to eat it raw.
Well, it certainly is. You know, and the other big advantage is there's so much that we could be talking about, Marie. It's really hard to do a once-over and hit everything on just a brief show. But the other advantage of eating enough raw food, raw vegetables, is that we're getting the fiber in there that is still active, and that is absolutely key to the health of our colons. It becomes an absorbent, and it becomes sort of a sweeper and keeps our colon walls clean and allows our regular bowel movements, which, by the way, we should be having two or three a day. The amount of meals you have in should be the amount that are coming out. And if we don't have that pattern, you need to ask yourself, well, where is this stuff going?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question, and another image that...
I know people don't normally like to talk about it, but it's all about awareness. You know, if we want to be healthy and stay healthy into our old age, we need to understand, and we need to pay attention to these things.
Well, and that's probably why during the first few days of a cleanse or a detox, you need to stay pretty close to the bathroom, because your
For sure.
body is flushing that out. Now, I want to ask you about some supplements, because you do talk about the acid and alkaline balance, which is really important. I've heard more than just in your book. I've been hearing this for a long time. And there's a supplement, there's a range of supplements. The most famous one is Greens Plus, I think. And that is more alkaline, I think, and it has things like spirulina and all of that in it. So does taking, say someone eats predominantly cooked food and meat and things like that, and then they take this green supplement, is that going to help?
Oh, of course it's going to help. Anything you add to your diet that is positive and good helps. Now, these green powders, you're getting the vitamin and minerals in a digestible form that the body can use. It just so happens that almost all raw fruits and vegetables are alkaline by design. So you're getting a double benefit there. Definitely, it helps. The key is cutting down. Remember that 47 grams of protein per day on average. And we can get away with it. You know, your voice sounds quite young, Marie. So we can get away with it when we're younger. But it's when we get to middle age, you go to the hospitals and just assess who is there, who's coming from the problem for assistance with their problems. And in middle age and old age, The body has simply run out of stores. It's become so toxic that it can't eliminate properly, and diseases begin to manifest big time. The body has simply not been cleaned regularly on an internal basis and not been replenished with the supplies, the mineral and the vitamin and the raw amino acid supplies that it needs to keep rebuilding itself.
That's really interesting, and I want to talk a little bit more about age and the elimination and things like that. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie, and right now we're talking with Ron Garner, author of Conscious Health, The Complete Owner's Natural Health and Healing Manual. And if you want to get on the air and ask a question about your health and natural foods and things like that, then number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Now, Ron, it's interesting you mentioned how younger people can get away with it. And I do notice you start to hear as people age that they do have more issues with constipation. So someone who is 20 who could be living off McDonald's may not have issues with that, but someone who's 40 or 50 who has a similar diet or maybe even a little bit healthier starts to have problems with constipation and things like that. Why is that? Because of the enzymes leaving the body?
That's because they've had more time on a so-called bad diet or an unhealthy diet, and their body has simply run out of more of the stores it needs to keep it going. It's like
Ron, I'm going to interrupt you here because we have a caller on the line.
Okay.
So let's see here. CITR, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi. You have a question?
I have a question about supplements. Are you familiar with this turmeric they call curcumin as well? CQ10 and acidophilus. Is there any benefits out of those, or is it just a placebo thing?
Ron, did you hear the question?
It's very difficult to hear him. And you're even a little bit faint. I thought I heard CoQ10 and acidophilus.
And
no, curcumin, called otherwise turmeric.
Oh yes.
And coenzyme 10.
Those are all good. But I would say this, that looking for an individual one or two mineral supplements, in my opinion, is not the great answer. The body doesn't use anything in an isolated form. A mineral or a vitamin supplement in an isolated form can cause the body to do something, will produce some benefit. But ideally, the body wants everything in a complete range of nutrients, like a carrot or an apple has so many nutrients in it. And there are some in there that are even hard to identify of the amounts, but they are in trace amounts to be in balance. And so, yes, individual supplements can help, but in my opinion, you're better off to be using something like the greens supplements that Marie talked about a few minutes ago, because they contain the whole range of nutrients that are in there. That's not to say that something like CoQ10 and others won't be of benefit, because they can be.
Does that answer your question, caller? Well, okay, I think he's gone. All right, well, thank you for calling. If you want to get on the air, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. So that's a good question about supplements. It sounds like putting one supplement into your body can be helpful, but I mean, there's probably things in food that scientists don't even know. There's probably vitamins and things like that, or at least enzymes or, you know, things that we don't know about that is in our food.
Oh, for sure. And you know, when we talk about food, all food isn't equal. And this is why the push to eat more and more organic food does make sense, merely because when we have most of our commercially produced food is chemically fertilized with basically three minerals, the nitrogen, potassium, and phosphorus. Yes, it makes them green, it makes them look great, But over time, the soils become depleted of the trace minerals. And I'll give you just one example. Selenium is in very short supply in a lot of foods. Do we get enough iodine? Both of those are needed for the endocrine system. And this is why if we're taking if we're eating predominantly non-organic food, it's a good idea to take a broad-ranged natural supplement, such as the ones you mentioned, Marie, to replenish these trace minerals in our body. Because you're right, we don't even know the small amounts of minerals that may or may not be in foods that, again, our body needs to come into that fine-tuned balance.
Mm-hmm. It's more... I mean, if we were meant to live off of pills and supplements, then they would just grow on trees and we would pick them off the trees, right?
They would. And the problem with pills, that is drug pills, they are dead. There's no electricity in them. They are unable to combine together to form and produce life. But supplements should be, when we're buying supplements, even from a health food store, we should check to see that they have been low heat processed. That is, under in Fahrenheit terms, under 105 degrees, because when we get over about 110 Fahrenheit, the enzymes and the amino acids start to be destroyed.
Interesting. Now, what about supplements of omega-3s?
Well, the omega-3 and the omega-6, the oils, they should be in balance. And in our society, because of our eating habits, we tend to become... more depleted of the omega-3s. But good oils are absolutely necessary, so a good fish oil, hemp oil. Now, flax oil is very heavily balanced on the omega-3 side, so they're good for a while, but we should move to a balance on that. Absolutely, oils are a distinct and a necessary part of health.
Now, I have a question. You mentioned flax, and every morning I eat a flax cereal because it is low carb. It's flax and, I don't know, wheat germ or something low carb in it, and I put hot water in it. Does that cook it?
Well, let me back up and ask you, Marie, you eat a flax cereal. Is this a dry processed cereal?
Well, it's dry. It's got flax, it's got ground flax seeds.
But it's been cooked. It's been heat processed. It come out of a package?
It comes out of a package, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Unless we're grinding the flax fresh by ourselves, say you can grind flax seeds in a little coffee grinder and you have them fresh. Unless we're doing that, we are not getting the goodness out of there. I mean, it sounds good as a commercial sales pitch, but we're not getting the nutrition out of it simply because, as I explained before, the nutrition has been processed out of it. Yes, we're filling ourselves. We're getting carbohydrates. The body is drawing energy, or is able to produce energy from this, from the sugars in there, but it doesn't have the minerals, the trace minerals, the amino acids, and the enzymes.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like it would be better if I maybe added a couple teaspoons of freshly ground flaxseed.
Oh, sure. Just go to the health food store, buy a little stock of flax seeds, and in the morning take a tablespoon of that, put it in your little coffee grinder, or have a clean one, a separate one, whiz that and put it on your cereal. Then you're getting the real goods.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay, so what else do we have on the list here? The five main stimulants used by North America. Now, are we going to be talking about coffee here?
I hear that in your voice. Actually, that's number one on the list, and it's the five main stimulants are basically caffeine. Sugar, white, any kind of sugar, salt. I don't have that right.
Salt is a stimulant?
Pardon me?
Salt is a stimulant?
Table salt is a stimulant because it's made of calcium chloride and the body cannot break that down. And so it acidifies the body and the body revs it. See, what happens Let's take the example of caffeine, but table salt is the same thing, so is sugar and other. There is no nutrition in these items.
Mm-hmm.
There's no nutrition in there the body can use. So if there's not, the body recognizes it as a form of poison, as something that it doesn't want inside of itself. So what does it do? It revs itself up. It starts producing adrenaline, which, of course, we feel that rush. We say, oh, great, we've got energy. It gave me energy. Well, it didn't give me any energy at all. It has no nutrition there to give you anything. The body, in its wisdom, is increasing its metabolism to try to process this out of the body in a timely manner. And so this is what happens. In addition, these are all very acid formings, which start to draw on the body's alkaline stores, which eventually deplete that.
So what about sea salt?
Sea salt is excellent. And we should be buying sea salt that's in its gray form. Paludier salt or Celtic salt are two of them. When we get sea salt that looks like a table salt because it pours through a shaker really easy, all that sort of thing, that's been heat processed.
What about the stuff that you get and you grind it up, but it's white?
That's the very best. That's excellent.
But you said, so should it look gray?
Well, that's yes, it should, actually. If you look at it in a bag in a health food store, it'll be slightly gray. More white than gray, but there is a grayish tint in there. Now, what you're getting out of sodium chloride or table salt has two minerals, and even then the body can't break them down to use them. Sea salt, a good unheat processed sea salt, has over 82 minerals in there. The majority is sodium and chlorine, which in its raw form the body can use for other purposes, but there are over 82 minerals in there.
Wow. Now, I was using sea salt for a while, and then I heard something about iodine because they add iodine to table salt, and I heard that it's not in sea salt.
Probably not, but you can easily get over that by eating a kelp tablet. Again, it's another green food.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah. Well, a little tablet, you don't have to eat it. You can swallow it.
I actually wanted to ask you about that as well. The greens supplements, usually you can get them either in a powder form to make into a drink, or which in my opinion tastes horrible, and I've bought them. I just cannot choke them down. Or you can take them in pill form, in capsules. Does it make a significant difference to take it in the liquid drink form, or are you still getting most of the benefits by taking them in the capsules?
Well, you're far better off to take them in the capsules than not take them at all, Marie. But, you know, if you go into that part of my book and learn how to make green smoothies, which are you make in a blender and you use fruit, and if you have some sweet fruit in there as well, you can adjust to the greens. And that is a mainstay of my diet. We make green smoothies out of, we use a lot of spinach in there, but you can use other greens as well. Or you can use these powdered green supplements. And if you make that with a fruit drink as well, then the body has everything it can use. Nothing is not usable to the body. And it becomes a process of getting used to where your tastes are.
Great.
So I hear you, but I would suggest that you experiment a bit by adding things to them and make a good blender drink.
All right. Well, I'll have to go back into your book and find the recipe for the smoothie. And in about 15 minutes, we've got Scotty's Scenic Drive coming up on CITR 101.9 FM. If you want to get on the air, we're talking with Ron Garner, author of Conscious Health. The number is 604-822-2487. And I want to ask you about soy, because you mentioned that soy is dangerous.
Yes, yes, it is.
Can you explain that
further? We have been, the whole North American population, perhaps even the world over, has been sold a bill of goods that soy is a healthy protein, a healthy alternative. And I won't get into a great bit of detail on this, but to explain that in order to break soy down to make the tofus and the soy milk and stuff, it has to be so heavily processed with heat and other chemicals to break it down that it totally changes the food. And the byproduct, basically, there are many of them, but is estrogen. It makes synthetic estrogens that totally overbalance the body. Now, there's a section in my book where I talk about the sinister side of soy, where I give the example from research that babies who are fed soy milk, and we had personal experience of this in our family, are getting the equivalent of 5 birth control pills a day.
Oh, my goodness.
That's how much synthetic estrogen is in soy milk and tofus overturned. That's a very interesting part of my book to read the research on that.
Oh, my goodness. There's a call on the line, so yes. I'm going to put us through. Okay, CITR, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm wondering, is this a request line or...
This is the on-air line. We're talking with Ron Garner, author of Conscious Health. Did you have a question about health and foods?
Yeah, I'm wondering what role the Canadian government does play in the health, the inspection of meat plants and such, food preparation plants. Have they really relegated all the authority to the industry itself, or am I just hearing political rhetoric?
Did you hear the question, Ron?
Oh. Yeah, I hear that, and I really don't know the full answer to that. My understanding is that there are regulations in place, and there are inspections in place to inspect meat slaughtering plants, packing plants, but of course they can't be everywhere all the time, and. So I'm not sure that I can completely answer your question. It's not an area that I tend to go into because I want to be in control of what goes into my own body. And so if I'm going to eat meats, which I do occasionally, I want to make sure that those are thoroughly cooked to destroy any organisms they have. But I predominantly eat vegetarian, vegetables and fruit, and good supplements to make sure that I am getting the nutrition my body needs, and I don't really need to worry about these other outbreaks that are out there, because I wouldn't touch, for instance, the processed meats at all.
Yeah, you may not, but, you know, I've grown up in a different environment, and I certainly I'm addicted to them. Let's put it that way.
Yeah,
anyways,
I
enjoy... eating them, and what happens is that you place an inordinate amount of trust into the government to be, you know, you assume that these things are properly looked after, and I'm wondering if anyone is really watching the barn door here, or is it just because, you know, a lot of people aren't as careful as you, and I'm generally not that careful about what I eat. I generally expect it to be, you know, good and healthy. And I'm wondering if there's anyone watching that barn door from the government, or it's left to the industry itself.
Well, you probably have answered your own question. I agree. By the way, I used to enjoy it just as much as you do, caller. But over time, I wanted to be in control of, to understand what I was being fed or who was suggesting that I take things, that it was actually good for me. And so, unfortunately, more and more, I think we have to be our own authority. We have to ask the questions rather than blindly trust.
That's a really good point. Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling in, caller. I'm just going to disconnect you now. So if you want to get on the air, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. We're talking with Ron Garner, author of Conscious Health on Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. And we have about 10 minutes to wrap before we wrap up the show. And I wanted to ask you actually about, because I mentioned I eat a lot of meat and because of a low carb diet, and I try not to eat too much of the processed meat with all the nitrates and things like that in it. But I noticed that after being on low carb, if I fall off the wagon, so to speak, and I start eating carbs again, I notice that my metabolism has changed dramatically. I used to be able to eat carbs and not gain a significant amount of weight. And now if I go off of low carb for a couple of weeks, a couple of things happen. First of all, the calories that I'm bringing in don't seem to match the amount of weight that I'll gain compared to where my metabolism used to be. And also I crave them so much more if I stop eating low carb. It's like I'm ravenous for all of the white food poisons that we can talk about as well. So if you're on if you switch to a raw food diet or you start to move in that direction, are there any metabolic changes that happen?
Oh, tremendous. See, what you're describing, Marie, is that, in my opinion, your body has lost its balance. You said you used to be able to eat them and it was no problem, and now there is, you notice, the metabolism has changed. On a predominantly meat diet, the body has increased its metabolism. It runs fast. Also, its hormones are becoming unbalanced and upset. And so there's an imbalance that takes place in the body, and it takes time to correct that. As a person goes on a good detoxification program, starts feeding more of the live vegetable nutrients that our body needs, and there will be yo-yos in time until we balance that out. Cravings are a distinct sign that the body is out of balance. It's crying for some help here.
So now what about, because you mentioned the, what's happened for me is I went on low carb and I lost a significant amount of weight.
Sure,
and
can I interrupt you there?
Yeah.
The reason why you've lost that weight is that because the body has increased its metabolism internally. It's running so fast, it's burning itself out from the inside. It's merely burning it off. That's only a short-term thing. Eventually, there is a crash down the road, because you can't keep running your car in a low gear at a fast speed without the engine overheating and something happening in time. That's what's happening in the body. It just takes a little longer with our bodies.
So I think that's what's happened with me, is that I was so successful with low carb in the weight loss that, and then, but when I would fall off the wagon, like in 2 weeks, I could gain 10 pounds.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be eating 10 pounds worth. I mean, that's like, 35,000 extra calories?
Yeah.
There's no way that I was taking that much in, but my body was just hanging on to every carb gram, and it was, and so I started to kind of get the yo-yo effect. I'd gain the weight after a couple of weeks and I'd go back on low carb because it had worked for me in the past, and now I've yo-yoed back up to almost where I was at before.
Okay, now when you say low carb, I bet these were mostly cooked carbs, weren't they?
Yes, mostly cooked
meat.
Sure,
but again, see, there's no enzymes in there. The amino acids are not available to their body, and many of the mineral nutrients are not available. And so the body sees this as garbage. And if it can't eliminate it, because the avenues of elimination, that is the colon, is not efficient, which backs up, then the liver becomes inefficient. The body has no alternative but to store this stuff because it can't get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Really logical.
So if I was to, let's say, for example, because every time I go off of low carb, this happens, I gain weight and I end up having cravings for the junk that I shouldn't be eating, like white flour, sugar, things like that. Is it possible for me to stay on a low carbohydrate diet and eat, like, say I still ate the meats and I stayed away from bread and things like that, but I started introducing raw vegetables and started eating all of my vegetables raw and started taking the green supplement, do you think that that would make a change, or do I need to just get...
No, it absolutely will make a change, Marie, and it needs to be done over time. But don't defeat yourself by just going cold turkey into all raw, because you're going to have such a reaction there too, and it's going to be hard for you to convert over. Make a program that over the next month, the next 2 months, I'm going to start adding 10% every week into the more raw part. I will say this. With raw food, calories are not really a concern because it's all available. What the body doesn't use, it can get rid of. And so anyone who's describing a situation such as yours, in my opinion, should be working on detoxifying the colon first. Get a good long-term, something we can use every day or every other day, a colon supplement to start cleaning out the matter that has become sludge and has become stuck to the colon walls and has reduced the efficiency of that part of our body. Once that starts to become cleaned out, then the liver is able to start dumping and cleaning itself and become more efficient, because the liver is the processing plant of our body. It is the one that takes and converts nutrients to put them into usable form and sends them out to the various places in our body. So enough food in its raw available form begins to cleanse and replenish the body's stores.
Fantastic, Ron. So I'm definitely going to have to go back and read your book in more detail when I get home. It is waiting for me there. So we are going to wrap up now.
Can I just suggest that where people could get the book?
Yes, I was going to ask if there's anything else that you want to add.
Well, the easiest way to get the book is to go online to conscioushealth.ca, and it's available for Namaste Publishing. Or you could probably get a really good price by going to Amazon.com.
Fantastic.
Conscious Health.
Fantastic. So that's conscioushealth.com.
.ca.
.ca.
Conscioushealth.ca is the website, www. Or you could go to Amazon.com and look for the book Conscious Health. And you want the new one, which is the blue cover. It's in a large manual format.
Yes.
Fantastic value for the money.
It is. It's a very large book, and it has a lot of information. And it did win the Nautilus Award. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it did win the Nautilus Award for 207. I might also mention that although I live in Nelson, B.C., I will be in Vancouver, and I will be speaking at the Nikai Center in Burnaby on October 21st in the evening.
October 21st.
Yeah, and you could contact the organization called Conscious Planet. They're sponsoring me.
Conscious Planet. Okay, great. Well, we will, if you could email me the details, Ron, I will announce that on the show closer to the date as well. Do you know how much tickets are?
Well, we're purposely keeping them very low because, you know, my main interest is to just get information out that helps people. The admission is $10, which is extremely low for Vancouver.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Great. Well, thank you so much,
yeah,
Ron, for being on the show.
And the book will also be on a bit of a sale reduction there as well.
Fantastic. I'm sure all the listeners are going to want to pick it up before then, but if you do want to see Ron in person and pick up the book that day, it's October 21st at the Nikan Center.
The Nikai Center.
It's
the, I don't have the address right in front of me, but it's in Burnaby. Call Conscious Planet. Conscious Planet, if you look that up in the book, they will tell you exactly what the details are there.
Great. And again, if you could email me that information, I will definitely announce all the details on the show. Thank you so much, Ron, for your time. Take care and have a great day.
Thank you, Marie.
Thank
Pleasure
you.
Pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So you've been listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This was Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. And we have Scotty's Scenic Drive up. And just while we get ready for that, there's been a lot of talk about this particle accelerator. thing going on in Europe, and there's a little wrap that the physics people put together, and so I'm going to leave you with that on Synchronicity, CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Oh, yeah. I'm about to drop some particle physics in the club. The LHC is super duper fly. You know what I'm saying. Check it.
27 kilometers tunnel underground. Designed with mind to send protons around. A circle that crosses through Switzerland and France. 60 nations contribute to scientific advance. Two beams of protons swing round through the ring they ride. Till in the hearts of the detectors they made to collide. And all the energy packed in such a tiny bit of room becomes mass. Particles created from the vacuum. And then...
Oh, yeah.
LHCBEC is where the antimatter's gone. Alice books and collisions of red ions. CMS and Atlas are two of a kind. They're looking for whatever new particles they can find. The LHC accelerates the protons in the lead. And the things that it discovers will rock you in the head. We see asteroids and planets, stars galore. We know a black hole resides at each galaxy's core. But even all that matter cannot explain what holds all these stars together. Something else remains. The star matter interacts only through gravity. And until you catch a particle, of energy, and the particles appear clear as can be. You see particles flying in jets they spray, but you notice there ain't nothing going the other way. You say my law has just been violated. That don't make sense. There's gotta be